All right, you may be seated.
This past week, my Wednesday encouragement was on a passage from Matthew on turning the other cheek. And it reminded me of back in the 90s, there was a basketball player who was pretty outspoken, NBA basketball player who was pretty outspoken about his faith in Jesus. And I remember after, in one of the basketball games that they were playing, this man who was pretty outspoken about his faith got into an altercation on the court with somebody else, and there was pushing and shoving and craziness ensued. And after the game, I'll never forget this, after the game, one of the announcers or one of the commentators said, to this player, "Hey, listen, you got in that altercation there, and you're pretty outspoken about your relationship with God. Doesn't the Bible say to turn the other cheek?" And his response is somewhat humorous, but somewhat telling. His response was, "Well, I only have two cheeks." And the reality is, as we look through the book of Proverbs, we can have the information in our head. We can have the knowledge in our brain. But if that knowledge doesn't transform our heart, then it's just knowledge. And sometimes it takes longer than others for some of us to allow God to change our heart. So we're in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Once again, we're not going to, over the course of the next several weeks, we're not going to do every single chapter. Last week we did one. This week we're doing three. In a couple weeks, we're going to do later on in the book. But really encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. We said this last week, but a lot of what is presented in Proverbs are these snapshots of wisdom, and then it also takes wisdom to apply them. And they're not blanket statements, but we do have a couple scenarios in Scripture in the book of Proverbs where there seems to be some continuity or train of thought, and this chapter is one of them, so we wanted to highlight this morning. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and I want to look at 1 to 4 first. And so if you'd open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, or just listen along as I read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Before we continue, I just want to pray that our ears would hear, that our minds would be transformed, and our hearts would change in the way that God wants them to. So just join me. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we look through this section of Scripture this morning, that you would impact us in a way, that we would hear from you, we would glean from you, we would be transformed by you, and the ways in which you desire us to be transformed. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to look at a couple of things here where he says here first, "my teachings." He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Bible. So what he's asking the listener, and this is Solomon again, what he's asking the listener to receive is the instruction that he's giving that comes from the Word of God. And so that's the instruction that he's talking about. This will prolong your life and bring you peace. And then it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." And this concept here is loving kindness, or kindness that transforms you. And his faithfulness, it'll never, making you into a person of mercy is the concept here. The Word of God is more than just truth to be adhered in your brain, to sit in there, to stay in there for knowledge's sake. It really needs to change and transform the heart. Is the concept. And then he says, "Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart. May they become one with you," is the concept. So it's not, once again, so it's not just in your brain, it's written on your heart. It becomes who you are. And so the words on this page live out through you. Sometimes I think we're so, in Christian circles especially, we're so stuck on truth that the truth doesn't change us. We're so into truth and making sure people understand truth and they hear truth that we end up hurting people with truth instead of letting them see the heart of God. And so I really believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, this next phrase I'm going to share with you, God is not looking for behavior modification, but rather heart transformation. This is not about how to be a better person. It's how to let God change you. Your heart needs to change and transform. I'm going to mention political things without being political, if that's okay, because I think it's important. I've seen a lot of interaction between believers, especially online, being terrible to one another. I mean, just downright nasty. And I generally try to make my online profile say things that are kind and compassionate to one another because I know how much God still needs to work on me. And there are going to be times where you'll see the flesh of Jeff as opposed to the God of the universe. But I was surfing through social media the other day, and one of my pastor friends posted something that was pretty condemning to the opposite side that he has chosen. And that's fascinating to me as a believer that we adhere to sides, because I really believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, regardless of where we sit political, Christ came for all. Not my side or your side or somebody else's side, he came for all. And so I just, you know, and there became this back and forth for all their friends to see them, you know, these different sides online being nasty to one another. And I sat there and I was like, oh, you're killing me, man. And I say this with a heavy heart because I've chosen one of those sides before and been on that battle and fight. And what ends up happening is the onlooker sees me or the person rather than God. So I debated back and forth, do I jump on, do I respond? Because oftentimes your words, when you're reading them, they get misinterpreted and the fight ensues. And I just said, this conversation grieves me. It grieves me tremendously. Because we all live in a world where both sides are seen, but when we choose a side, people miss Jesus. And so I just really encourage you, as you're interacting with one another, that the onlookers are confused. They're just confused about what is taking place, because we cannot profess Christ with our mouth and then not back him up with our actions. And both responded, thank you, Jeff. And I say that not to go, yay, I did something. I say that almost with a grieved heart that we've gotten to this place in Christendom. And the reality is that that's just here in the United States of America. I just mentioned Patty and Barry Jordan, who are overseas. And so when we get so focused at our own situation, we miss the bigger picture of what God has in store for the entire world that he loved and died for. Let's continue. In verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I mean, if we're honest, sometimes trust is really, really difficult. Is it not? Sometimes trusting God is difficult. And our relationship with God starts with faith. Faith that God is who he said he was, that he did in fact create us, that he did in fact send his son to die for us. And that leads us to a place of the actions that Jesus has done for us leads us to a place of trust. So this is really a precursor of what takes place later in the New Testament. Trust really needs to mature so that we are changed and transformed. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. And this is, you know, this is a theme that's carried through this whole section. Listen to my teachings. Let them change your heart. Let them transform you. Don't do this all yourself. Don't respond just yourself. Trust in God, not on your own understanding. And then the path forward for you will be straight. I don't know about you, but I love a straight path. And the reality of trusting God is sometimes we can't see the path laid out in front of us. Sometimes we have to choose to take a step to ensure that the ground that God is sending us on is in front of us. Clark puts it this way. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Self-sufficient and self-dependence have been the ruin of mankind ever since the fall of man. The grand sin of the human race is their continual endeavor to live independently from God. Oof. All right, Clark, tell me how you really feel. When we go at it alone, more often than not, we're going to fail. If we lean on God, more often than not, the path is going to become straight for us. And that's a hard one. It is a hard one. I heard the story several years ago, and I forgot the names and the players, but it's very vivid in my mind, so I just want to briefly share it with you. And in World War II, in the Pacific battle, there was one island that was really important, had a landing strip, and it was important to both sides of the fight. And the story goes that this battle ensued on the front lines, and people were being picked off one by one, and it came down to one American soldier and one from Japan, and they were shooting at one another. And the precursor to all this was the one American soldier that was left had been being told about God for several months. Hey, God loves you, he cares about you, and the soldier was like, look around us, we're in war. God doesn't care about anything. We're in war. He doesn't care about me. This is ridiculous. And they would argue back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Enter into this battle, and they're shooting at one another, and he wounds the other soldier from the other side, and so he's the last one left. The Americans get the island. It leads to eventually the end of World War II. He walks down the hill and looks in the sight line of the gun that was shooting at him, and it was aimed right at where he was sitting. There was absolutely no way, shape, or form that this guy should have survived. Zero. He was shot out probably 10 times, and every single bullet missed him. And he was dumbfounded. And he walked back to gather his gear to go meet the rest of the American soldiers so they could take over. And as he was walking, his military issue Bible fell out of his pocket and it opened up, and he reached down to grab it. And before he reached down to grab it, he noticed where it landed, and his eyes caught Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all the ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And it changed him into a man of peace, and he ultimately led his life moving forward with one of peace and bringing people to know God. Now, our experience may not be that dramatic. Your experience may not be that dramatic. But God is asking us to trust him with our lives. And we have a choice to allow him to or not. Let's continue in verse 7. To 12, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resist his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Now, there's kind of three pieces in here, but in my mind, they all correlate with what we've just read. And the first part there is, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, shun evil. Then there will be health to your body. Can we all agree that more we stress about life, the harder our life gets, right? We know this, that stress causes all kinds of issues in our life. I've had the unfortunate fortune of having shingles twice in my life. My wife argues three times. And shingles is brought on by stress. And it is not fun. If you've never had, it is not fun. There's a rash, there's itching, and there's this excruciating pain because it attacks your nervous system. As a result of stress, it leads to places of unhealth. There's all kinds of things that we know about. It can lead to heart issues and all sleeping disorders and all kinds of different things. So this is truth right here. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. Don't let yourself be consumed by this world without asking the God of the universe for help. Look outside beyond yourself. Otherwise, it's going to lead to literally you becoming physically unhealthy. I generally don't do this, but I couldn't help. I like to stick to the passage and just only look at the passage, but I love Paul's interpretation of this in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verses 22 and 25. And it says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Another way of translating that is, thinking they were wise, they made themselves out to be fools. Oh, I'm so smart. I'm so smart. You have to listen to everything that I have to say. I've got it all figured out. And then the fall ensues. And we start worshiping ourselves and the things around us as opposed to the God who created us. And it never ends well. And then there's a section in here about honoring the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of everything that you've given to God. Just want to briefly touch on this because there is a really terrible theology that has spread because of verses like this being misinterpreted. And it goes that if you give to God, all of a sudden all your worries are going to go away. You'll become healthy in every way, shape, and form. You won't get sick anymore, and you'll be rich. And that's not a proper interpretation of the scripture at all. It's way more holistic than that. If you continue that line of thought, then anytime you are sick or poor, it's an act of God not loving you, which just isn't truth. Because there's a lot of poor people listed in Scripture. Paul himself, that I just mentioned, was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was flogged. He didn't have a place to rest his head. And yet he told half the known world about Jesus. So if you follow that train of thought, it just doesn't line up with the rest of the scripture. But there is something to giving back to God and him not letting go of you. There is something to you giving to God and to others in honor of him that brings wealth to your soul. It may manifest in health, it may manifest in other ways. But really the heart attitude has to do with God, not self. If it's about this and not him, then it's just not great theology. And we see that continue through this whole little section that we're reading here. And then lastly, the part about not despising the Lord's discipline, because he disciplines the one he loves. He's given us this book for a reason. And if we follow it, generally the rule is that when you follow God, you're not going to get yourself into harm on purpose. He's trying to save us from a lot of heartache that this world offers us as we follow him. We can choose not to, and generally it's going to lead to folly and other problems in our life. And just because we follow him doesn't mean that we won't experience heartache and problems and trials, but he will be with us through it all. And so he steers and guides us because he knows the outcome if we don't follow him. He knows what we're going to get ourselves into if we don't follow him. It was Christmas Eve, and our kind of flow in our family is I try to finish whatever shopping needs to happen because I generally wait till the last minute because I'm a procrastinator. I'm just being honest with you. So we do some of that, and we're wrapping and this kind of stuff. And then we always go to Tarantella's for dinner and then come here and for Christmas Eve service, and then we have another, we go about our night. We're at Tarantelle's this last Christmas Eve, and we're having dinner as a family. I had to ask, are we allowed in? I didn't see another soul because nobody else was venturing out. Everybody was either preparing meals in their home or ordering, but we decided, yeah, we're going. This is our rhythm. We're doing it. And so we're the only ones in there. And then about three quarters of the way through our meal, this woman comes in by herself and sits down. And she's asking us questions. We're kind of interacting with one another. And then we're getting ready to leave. And I felt like God said, hey, listen, I want you guys to pay for her meal. So I kind of looked over at Annette and I was trying to get her, hey, and she was like, we didn't even have to, talk to one another. We knew this is what we wanted to do. And it's Christmas, and we've spent more than we should already. And it wasn't a good human choice, honestly. But it was very firmly and directly from God. And so I went up, and we paid for a meal, and then we left. And I say that not to say, hey, look at us. This is great. Look what we did. I say that to say God oftentimes will ask us to give. And I have no idea what was going on in that lady's life. But I do know when she went to finish up the meal and found out that somebody had paid for a meal, whether they told them that we did it or not, that her heart was forever changed. The greatest lie, the enemy of your soul, is that you are alone. And the reality is God is with us from birth to death, desires to be so. So we should let him. And that's what I get from these last couple verses here. So I want us to look at these responses. As we've read these 12 verses, I think there's some takeaways from this, and I want us to look at them. The first is there an aspect of your heart that needs to be given over to God? Again, he's not looking for behavior modification. He's looking for heart transformation. What aspect of your heart needs to be changed and transformed to look more like him? And then is there an area of your life that you're struggling to trust God in? You're trying to do it alone? Will you let him in? Will you trust him so that your past can become straight? And then lastly, what is God calling you to give to him? The act of worship. And please understand, I gave a monetary example. The Lord wants all of us. He wants all of us so he can share all of him with others. And so is there an aspect of your life that God is calling you to give in? Your time, your energy, your space, your information, your hearts, your help. What is God calling you to give? Where do you need to trust him? What aspect of your heart do you need to allow him to have control over? Where is he asking to give? So that we can look more like him. So the things, the knowledge that he can give us, has given us, become part of us. So that it's not just what I know, it's what I know. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, this is way easier said than done. It's hard. It's difficult. We're asking you to change and transform our hearts, to see what you see, to desire what you desire, to hope for what you hope for, to be who you want us to be. Whether it's difficult or easy, Lord, pluck the things from us that have nothing to do with you, nothing to do with ourselves and others, have everything to do with being changed by you. Areas of trust where you're asking us to trust you And it's just extremely difficult. Lord, I ask that you would empower with initiation to take that one little step of faith towards you. Change us, transform us. In your name I pray, amen.